a boundless reservoir. It's a little after seven. My name is Chris Norris. Happy New Year to 2025. Sipping on some coffee this morning out of a Higgly Wiggly cup from, says Myrtle Beach. My in-laws gave it to me, so kudos to Higgly Wiggly and the in-laws. Hope each and every one of you had good New Year's as we come into this year. There's probably a lot of different things that, again, grab our attention, you know, with from just even in the United States with America and our new president coming into office and just different aspects that we all will face. Maybe some new jobs, maybe new relationships, you know, new diets. It seems to be a popular one, you know. Just a little housekeeping. Yesterday, didn't get to share a podcast. Just got tied up with some side work and things that took a little bit longer than anticipated. So we're here today, and yeah, you know, just kind of sleepy this morning, to be honest with you. Didn't rest well last night. The you know, it's always kind of I guess restless when you've got the fireworks going off, but you know, people want to shoot fireworks. Fireworks are good. We like them. But you know, it gets a point in the night where you wish they would cease. But anyway, thankful for fireworks, right? So we'll be in good coffee this morning, out of a good coffee mug. But I did want to share a thought as far as kind of looking at some details with a new year and kind of the outlook. I was at a relative's house the other day, and his house overlooks a little pond, and we were standing there on the porch talking, and you know, just the view was beautiful out in the land, out in the country, as you say. And you know, sometimes we kind of have maybe a little bit of a viewpoint of what's before us and kind of what we're looking at. And so here we are with a new year, 2025, in front of us, how we view that. And I think there's some instruction for us to gather, and a passage that can probably give us, again, some guidance. Out of Proverbs chapter 13, verse 25, it says, "The righteous has enough to satisfy his appetite, but the stomach of the wicked is in need." Yesterday, my wife was gracious enough to deliver us some Chick-fil-A while we were working, and so we could keep carrying on and not have to leave the job site. But anyway, you know, it was in that moment, it was kind of a relief to get something to satisfy the hunger that was in. Not to say that we were, of course we were not starving by no means, but we were hungry. And so being able to take a break and eat the food that was provided was a good feeling. It was, in comparison, there was satisfaction that was granted from being able to stop and do that. And I feel that there is a comparison when we look at or describe our relationship with Christ, and again, where that leaves us as believers. Again, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, I would pray that you would call out to Him. I pray that you would sense that, you know, salvation is provided through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that He has come to save. But again, I think that if you are in a position to where you have truly repented of your sins and confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior, and there's a relationship that's been established because of the bond and covenant that Christ has provided, I feel that there is a true eternal satisfaction, you know, a true fullness that comes by having a relationship with Christ. You know, we were, before experiencing salvation, you would describe it for myself, there was an emptiness. Now, you know, you'd say I was graced with experiencing salvation at a young age. So, and then there's other, you know, testimonies or occasions where people have shared that their conversion experience was later in life. And some of those experiences that people share, they would, you know, give reference to that many times there were points that they felt as though they were searching, you know, seeking something out or trying to get some kind of satisfaction to whatever the world or even other people could provide. And in those conversations that you have with those individuals that were, you know, at some crossroads where they felt as though the things that they had once thought brought some kind of fulfillment or it basically did not accomplish what they once envisioned. Kind of, again, that viewpoint of what it is that is in or has their attention. And, you know, I think that's the struggle that's before even, you know, we would say for those of us that have matured and, you know, gotten older with time. You know, my little girl always tells me about how much gray I have in my hair. And we've gotten older. But, you know, I would say for when Proverbs is saying the righteous, you know, the righteous has enough. So literally, you know, righteous is a moral right understanding of a good person, that the only reason why they're a good person is because of what Christ has worked in their heart. And therefore, that's the goodness that's displayed, is by the life that they live and reflects the love of Jesus Christ through their life. So that's the righteous. It's not the person that's actually living. It's not anything that the person has, again, done on their part. So the righteousness, the goodness, the pureness, the joy, the hope, all the many things that we would characterize through Christ has been again planted within one who embraces the truth of Christ. And so when Proverbs is saying that the righteous has enough to satisfy his appetite, I feel as though we look at that and we would say that with having that relationship with Christ, it is enough. You know, it's even if you were abandoned in a desert or a jail cell or a dark alley, I don't know, you could think of a lot of different areas where you would say that one would maybe feel abandoned or left alone. But no matter where that viewpoint is from the physical realm, if you have a relationship with Christ, that he is enough to satisfy. So I even think back, like back in 2012, I had to have a major surgery, had a hernia issue there, and you know, was kind of like, you know, they put you in one of those hospital gowns, you know, and I always like to gonna go sideways real quick right here. There's those gowns are really, I don't even know why they should just put a sheet around you. But anyway, you know, you don't have anything. But I oftentimes would mess with people and say, you know, I had to go to the dentist the other day and had to put one of those gowns on. And then, you know, the people would say, what kind of dentist do you go to? Yeah, that was that was sideways. But getting back to the whole, you know, surgery thing back in 2012, that was an experience where I had never, you know, went through, never had occurred. And so, you know, as they're fixing to wheel you back, I mean, you don't have anything. You have the gown, which is fixing to come off. And that's a little, I guess, too much graphic or detail, but I think it's important for us to look at from the concept of what the Bible is telling us, is that even if you don't have anything, just a hospital gown, the back's open, you know, it's enough because Christ is enough. And you've been satisfied by what he's given to you, what he's provided for you. He is enough, so therefore you're satisfied in him. And so the Bible describes it in that way. And so I would look at it from the standpoint of the wicked are not so, because it describes the stomach, and this is the stomach of the wicked is in need. You know, there's a searching, there's a ravaging, if you will. We have chickens, and I don't know if you've ever watched chickens, but they're an interesting creature. They eat all the time. I mean, they're pecking away, you know, and digging in their claws, and they've messed up the mulch beds that we've had. I say it's time for some flour and oil. Fry them bad boys. But as a friend at church says, you know, the title of our chicken farm, what's left of them is eggs, not legs, right? So anyway, you know, they're searching continuously, you know, just pecking away and scratching at the ground. To some degree, I would say that some people in their mindset are continuously looking for something. If they don't have hope, you know, there's a way in which we would even look at it now in the new year, and people are thinking, well, you know, maybe the new year is going to bring something. So I'm going to search for what this new year has or what's available, you know, new things, however that presents itself. And I think that if there is a heart transformation that's taking place because of what Christ has worked in and within you, then I think you come to some sensibility and realize that, you know, just your needs have been met. There's no need to search. Now, of course, the responsibilities that we all have, that we've got to take care of our families and we've got to work and we've got to do and function, but, you know, I don't think it needs to get to a point to where we continue to strive in a way that our life depicts something that's here on this earth as our eternal gratification, you know, trying to the latest and greatest or trying to find some kind of meaning in the here and now. You know, for us, it's what our eternal hope is in Christ. And so when the Bible's telling us the righteous has enough to satisfy his appetite, that we are literally, if we've accepted again Christ as our Savior and he rules in our life, then that is enough. Christ is enough. So brothers and sisters, I pray that as you begin this year and as you maybe stand on that porch and look out, maybe you're envisioning some things in your mind, that those things would not captivate your attention in such a way that it pulls you away from understanding the truth that Christ is enough for 2025 and the years to come. Rest in that truth, be satisfied in that truth, and be full of him. The Boundless Reservoir. My name is Chris Norris. I hope you and your family have a blessed year this year, and I look forward to speaking with you again.